Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input, your questions, comments about the broadcast each and every day. And to do so, we invite you to call 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today a very powerful, poignant subject that I believe each of us need to listen up and understand the dynamics of it. What America needs most. What America, not asking the question, not saying what does America need most, making a definitive statement, what America needs most. We're going to talk about what's happened in our election just in the past couple to 3 days. We're going to talk about what is taking place and what is going to continue to take place as a result of the political machine that's in play. But we're going to also make a transition and point out very clearly and very definitively that what America needs most is not new politicians, not a Republican Party that's in control, not a Democratic Party that's in control. What America needs most today is a rediscovery of the Bible and a return to the Word of God and revival to break out in America. That's needed more than anything in the nation that we could talk about today. But to get there, we need to do the lay the fundamental foundation of what we see, what's happening, and why we need that transition, and we need to turn back to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, as it's called in Vacation Bible School and Sunday School classes across America, when kids are taught to sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. May I say to you today, I call it the truth book. In John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus makes a statement in John 14, 6, where Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he makes the declaratory statement in John 17, 17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Therefore, we need to seek truth. We need to, ladies and gentlemen, understand that we're in a society today. We're in a nation today. We're in a woke, cancel culture setting today where, as George Orwell said, the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that is precisely, definitively, what is taking place in America today. It is the rejection of truth. And part and parcel of that is because of where we stand with the younger generation. I'm looking at an article that says, most young Americans say there is no such thing as absolute truth. This article says, a result of the pushed American poll, this poll indicates, this article says, that America has been pushed to the very tipping point, because 55% of Americans 18 to 29 years of age say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. That opinion also held by those in the age groups, but the percentage diminishes as people grow older. Ladies and gentlemen, the 18 to 29 year old age group, which is the bulk of the millennials today, believe there's no such thing as an absolute truth. This is the reason they're rejecting the Bible, This is the reason they question the Word of God. This is the reason there's a diminishing of the faith, and the reduction of what you see in our churches across America today is because of a rejection of truth, a disingenuous position of what is called truth among so many today that's in charge and in control of the socioeconomic condition in our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made such a powerful statement. I quote it to you each and every day. May I remind us, at the risk of redundancy, it was Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge to you each and every day, ladies and gentlemen. We need to learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, listen to the truth, seek the truth, and defend the truth even to death. It's a tall order, but I say that is the only hope that we have for America today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. You can find Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, by looking for the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7, the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and ladies and gentlemen, much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you work in at Tools for Time. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. So, ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a brief monologue. Then we're going to introduce our special guest today that we have most Fridays when we talk about these serious issues. Pastor Glenn Davis is with us today, and I'm always thankful to have Pastor Davis with us. Pastor, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Younglett. Always a pleasure to be here with you on Fridays. And certainly I want to say good morning, amen, to my bride of 36 years and all my family that's listening
amen.
On today. It's a pleasure, amen, as always, to discuss the Word of God. But let us be ever mindful that, Dr. Younglett, we don't need to keep repeating the same cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we continue to go through these elections and we face these people in positions of authority that are not abiding according to the Word of God, we're going to see this nation going in a direction that we never seen it go before.
Absolutely.
So let's say we want the people of God to take heed to this message. This is a message to you on today.
That's right.
To help you to get things back on track and get your lives back in order.
Absolutely.
With the Word of God.
Absolutely. And Pastor Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia, you up in Warnock and Walker territory.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm praying, Pastor, very, very seriously that Herschel Walker, number 34, University of Georgia, carrying that football like a tiger across the field. I can remember those days very vividly, and I'm praying that he can carry the ball across the finish line to win this election. Otherwise, we're in trouble even more deeply than we dream possible in Washington.
Amen.
So I want all the folks up in Folkestone in that whole area, get the word out that Herschel Walker is the one we need to vote for, not for one that stands in the pulpit and says that God ordained abortion, that it is okay to abort and murder a baby in the womb of the mother. And that's exactly where the Warlock stands. I mean, Warnock stands.
Amen.
Today.
You had it right the first time.
The Warlock. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little footnote as to what we're going to talk about today in relationship to the need to see the and recognize what is happening in our nation. We've just witnessed, I believe, the most consequential election in our lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, we were told that we'd see a red wave, and we find that today the both chambers of the Congress, House and the Senate, are still solidly in the hands of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Party called the Democrats, unless we can see some major election results that we need to find. But ladies and gentlemen, we got a red trickle. We witnessed, a replay of the 2020 election with the same battleground states using the same fraudulent voting machines with the same embedded voting officials. Notwithstanding the facts, ladies and gentlemen, that we refer to it as Election Day, we continue to hear states like Nevada and Arizona, Pennsylvania, New York, and Georgia to make voting election month, not Election Day. I'm looking at an article, Pastor, that says, noted pollster calls for votes to be counted on Election Day. And then he has kind of a subheading. He says, when you lose the Super Bowl, you lose it. You don't keep on stretching the time out.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
A pretty
Amen.
Good illustration. He goes on to say in this article, federal law calls it an election day, but contemporary election managers and politicians have turned it into an election week or an election month. It's happening each and every year as the voters from Tuesday's election we still see being counted across multiple states. While it appears that Republican Party may have the majority in the new Congress, that's not certain at all, nor is the leadership of the Senate. Now, a prominent influential pollster says it's time to return to an election day. Pollster Scott Rasmussen said, quote, one of the 80% issues, and there aren't a whole lot of 80% issues in America, one of them is that all ballots should be in by election day. We should know the results of an election on election day. Quote, such a new mandate makes it nearly impossible to have a system like ranked choice voting, which is how Alaska conducts its elections. Ranked choice voting is an alternative voting system that allows voters to make multiple candidates on a ballot in order to see a preference. As a result of this system, Alaskans won't find out the results of their midterm election for several weeks or perhaps months, quote. Further, he states in this article, I think it's something that we're going to have to address through the political process. For example, when you lose the Super Bowl, you lose it. You don't stop, but you don't keep stretching out the time for a few more games. That's what has been happening in our country when it comes to the elections. And, Pastor, I touched on this during the past several days, and I need to tie up a loose end with that now in relationship to what has taken place with our election. Ladies and gentlemen, hold in there. Keep on listening, because where we're going is to understand what's happening with the election and how we keep trying to place our faith and confidence and trust in man rather than in God. We try to place our confidence in government, and that's not going to happen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest need in America today is to rediscover the Bible, rediscover the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Pastors need to preach it from the pulpit. We need to stand on it definitively, thus saith the Word of God. And until we do that, we're not going to see anything but futility for election after election after election. But I'm looking at an article, Pastor Davis, that says federal elections end at midnight on Election Day. The preamble to this article starts out with a retrospect. President-elect Donald Trump won the 2020 election. I watched every hearing and I watched every credible video following the steal of the election. Massive ballot dumps in the middle of the night, hundreds of thousands between Georgia and Pennsylvania alone. Mail-in ballots not only accepted days after a federal election ended, but continued to be counted, all in violation of federal election law. Here's the case. Foster versus Love, 522 U.S. Code 67, 71, and 72, is a 9-0 vote decision back in 1997 by the U.S. Supreme Court. Quoting Ruth Bader Ginsburg, quote, it's an election, and it seems to me being an election, it conflicts with the federal single-day election law, end quote. Constitutional Attorney Wren Gender, November the 18th, 2020 piece, elections undecided by midnight, listen, elections undecided by midnight are void, vacuous, and preempted by federal law. Federal Election Day statutes were designed to curtail all fraud and infuse a prima facie sense of integrity in our election process. But these states, in failing to obey congressional deadlines, have flagrantly attempted to preempt federal law. This is certainly prohibited, and this is why the late election results are void according to the federal election law and the U.S. Supreme Court decision of 1997 with a 9-0 vote that any votes counted after midnight on election day are vacuous, void, and are not to be counted. But, ladies and gentlemen, we keep doing the same thing over and over.
Amen.
Trying to say that somehow, some way, we need to count. Now, Pastor, in the state of Florida, millions upon millions of votes were counted, and we had the basic 99% of what we call the election decision by midnight on election day. And yet now in Arizona, they have another 605,000 plus votes that they claim will be about November the 17th before they have an answer. There's a problem with that, and it's Maricopa County that usually find the problem. Georgia, it's generally found in Fulton County with the problem. In Pennsylvania, it's usually found in Pittsburgh County Pennsylvania, where they have the problem with knowing how to count. And it seemed like in the battleground states, ladies and gentlemen, the folks do not know how to count. And yet, when you use the voting machines and you have an opportunity with a back door opening, so in the voting machines, it can be manipulated by those even in China in making the decision on what the election should be and making the vote. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying today is what America needs most is not another politician, not another fraudulent, phony, fake, stolen election. We need, ladies and gentlemen, to find that there's a need to turn back to God, to turn back to the Bible, to rediscover the Bible and have a revival in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, illustrate the insanity of this election that we've just watched for the midterm election, it seems that Pennsylvania appears to have elected Joe Biden 2.0. His name is John Fetterman. John Fetterman, a man that's certifiably a lunatic, has just been elected to the U.S. Senate. He can't speak. He cannot put a sentence together. And yet, magically, somehow, some way, when he had crowds less than 100, somehow, some way, operating from his basement, very similar to Joe Biden in election 2020, he was elected as a senator representing the state of Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, I still say that our nation stands in serious jeopardy today. Not much will change in Washington as a result of this election. We still have the Marxist communist in charge of the Oval Office. We still have open borders. We still have our faith and family and our freedom that's in grave danger and is under constant attack. We still have our Bill of Rights that's facing absolute evisceration and destruction in a nation. So, ladies and gentlemen, do we recognize that the politicians cannot be the answer for what America needs? Pastor, I'm going to read just a brief verse or two, and then we will look at further text about what's needed. In Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And ladies and gentlemen, we find in Psalms 146 and in verse 3, I believe it is, a text that needs to be understood. The scripture says, put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man in whom there is no help. Pastor, we seem to, as a nation, as a people, as state after state, even in local governance, we seem to think that somehow, some way, if we just elect Johnny, if we just elect Susie, or if we just elect this party, if we just elect that party, that somehow, some way, it's going to resolve the issues in our nation, moral, ethical issues. What is wrong with that thought?
Well, these things, Dr. Youngblood, never work. I mean, if we've tried them other times before and they've not worked, then what we need to do, and I'm just going to say this, this is Brother David's vernacular. If it ain't fixed, break it.
That's right.
Break it and make a new something. Put something in place that's going to do the job.
That has proven track record of historical past.
Amen. Because we said Every time an election comes, we're supposed to be putting intelligent individuals in these positions that will help pass laws that's going to work for us. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's going the other way.
That's right.
Whatever they are doing, each time they do it, is not working.
It's not evolution to better, it's devolution to worse.
Amen.
And worse.
Amen. Situation. So for that reason, when we can mark these individuals, I mean, as we got finished saying, we're not picking on John Fetterman. Don't get it wrong. I really feel sorry for him.
I do. I feel sorry for Joe Biden.
Even in that debate, you know, with Dr. Oz, it was obvious. I don't even think that he knew he was in the room.
That's right.
At certain times.
That's right.
Individuals like this should not be leading anyone.
That's right.
In fact, on last night, I watched a debate between two people about what happened in the debate between he and Dr. Oz. And this person, which was, I don't know where they were coming from with that, but certainly seemed like to me that they were on his side. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, maybe one day he can be president something.
Yeah, they're already postulating that possibility.
And the other person said, president of what?
Uh-huh.
What can he be president of when he doesn't have the capacity
intellectual cognitive ability to do even a senator's job?
That was
the question. That was the dilemma that we had in relationship to watching what was taking place with Joe Biden. And yet he's in there. I believe the immoral, ungodly, unholy power brokers like George Soros and those behind the scenes, they want a puppet that they can control. They want one that's intellectually unable. They want one that's cognitively depleted, like Joe Biden and John Fetterman.
Amen.
Pastor,
amen.
I'm looking at an article that says, battleground states announce when the ballot madness will end, it will make your blood boil. National anger is mounting over the dismal and unacceptable ballot counting situation in two key battleground states, Arizona and Nevada, regarding races that could determine what party controls the Senate. In Arizona, ballots are being counted at a snail's pace and at an original promise by the officials to have all votes counted by Friday night was extended now to Thursday and sparking even a more greater outrage. The Arizona problem concerns Maricopa County, the state's most populous county. On election day, roughly 20% of polling locations experienced printing problems with the tabulation machines. That issue was ultimately addressed, but slowed down the process considerably. It was announced that results for Arizona might not be available until next Monday or even as late as the 17th of November.
Well, that's pretty strange, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
I'm sure that they had the ability or they had the time to test these machines before Election Day.
Should have been.
Now, why did a breakdown have to happen on Election Day? Now, let's make sure we understand. Let's put this together. I mean, even Stevie Wonder could see that something wrong with
that. That's right. Absolutely.
So, I mean, what we need to do, again, we have things in place that we said, you know, we, passed laws that's already on the books that mm-hmm. you read about earlier mm-hmm. At the beginning of the broadcast
right.
to help us in that area. But for some reason, they seem to overlook that, you know, each and every time we have an election. So certainly, this is going to continue to be a problem until we put the right individuals in there who are going to abide by what they have on the books.
Absolutely. And even at that, we've got to stop trusting and depending in government and the officials that are elected. We need to rediscover the Bible and place our faith and trust in God.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Our lines are open, 831-0917, 904-831-0917. And if you have a question or comment, would like to have dialogue and discussion, jump into the dialogue. If you have suggestions as to what is needed and necessary, we'd like to hear from you. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Good morning. You and Pastor Davis, you said already what I was about to say. I'm serious. But only thing I got kind of nicked about, not pissed off, but nicked, when Trump jumped on our governor. And I think that was wrong. He said he's a great governor. But see, if he runs for he would make a great president. He really would, because he could have Florida on. He got Florida on track, not half Florida.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. Let me jump in with your comment. I am prayerful that we do not see a battle sparring between Trump and DeSantis. It will be tearing down the two most prominent, able men to lead America as the president of our nation. It is my prayer that that will not take place. We're seeing the sparring preemptively, but I believe some of that is, if you want to use the term, egged on by the media wanting to see a battle between Trump and DeSantis. I believe DeSantis, personally, believe DeSantis needs to focus on four more years of leading the free state called Florida. And then, yeah, with the open road, open door, run for president, of which I believe he could win hands down as president, yeah, in 4 years. I believe he needs to remain in the office in Tallahassee, leading the great state of Florida. And I believe that's what Trump is trying to say. But as you know, we all know, Trump does a wonderful job in trying to clean the swamp, clean the sewer, and leading America. But sometimes he opens his mouth to put his foot in it. And I believe that's what he has done with this preemptive strike against DeSantis. And I'm with you. It is my prayer that that will not come out into the open public with a battle and a brawl. If that takes place, let me be not a prophet, not the son of a prophet, as Amos says in Amos chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. But let me remind you and our listeners, if that takes place, I believe it will open Pandora's box to allow both, yeah, of them to eviscerate each other and to allow another socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democrat to come into office that will be Joe Biden 2.0. I am prayerful that we do not see that battle. So the key to it is, Kenneth, and that's what we're wanting to talk about in the final result of this broadcast today, is the fact that we need to cease, desist, discontinue placing our faith and trust in the election process or in the election people, and place our faith and trust in God and not in government. We need to rediscover the Bible. We need to rediscover it from the pulpits in America. We need to rediscover the Bible from the pew in America. Pastors, spiritual leaders, religious leaders, Christian pastors need to grow a spiritual spine and stand, yes, up and speak up and preach the truth, the whole gospel, and stand on the truth regardless of whose feelings might be hurt or alienated as a result of it. It's time we stop being mamsy-pamsy, walking on eggshells, and afraid we're going to offend somebody from the pulpit. Take a stand, say what the Word of God says, do expository preaching, that's verse by verse, chapter by chapter, thus saith the Word of God. Stop giving the feel-good psychobabble from the pulpits. God never called the preacher to be a psychobabbalist, that is, trying to use psychology to alter and change and modify the people in the pew. God called pastors to preach the Word of God, to let the chips fall where they may, as far as the world would call it, and not be afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. So, Kenneth, keep praying. Keep looking up, brother.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, sir.
And you're getting off the line. Isn't it kind of funny that all the machines that China, you know, they broke down at this town? And I'm getting off the line.
If anybody thinks that's an accident, I will give them the Buckman Bridge. I will disassemble it and reassemble it in their backyard free of charge. If anybody listening thinks that that was an accident for those machines not to work, in fact, it was 1 out of 5, about 20% of them, that did not work on the very busiest day of any potential election out of the largest county in Arizona. Kenneth, you're exactly right, brother. Keep looking up. Keep on waiting and saying, God help us. We need to rediscover the Bible and get back to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.